How are organizations investing in their future? Many are choosing to invest in their people in the same way they invest in new equipment, facilities, and IT systems. That is one of the wisest investments you can make. How do you determine training needs? Turn to the award-winning professionals at Taro International for a complimentary needs assessment and gap analysis. Visit taro.com, that's T-E-R-O.com, to learn more. This is Ro from the Taro team.
Hey, welcome back. In part two of the Business News Hour Out to Lunch, we talk more about employment in the TV news business, ratings and research, credibility in the newsroom, and being one of just a few female TV news directors in the Midwest. We're out to lunch at table 128 with April Sam.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, is brought to you by Insight Advertising, Marketing, and Communications, a full-service ad agency, InsightCubed.com, and the elite training team at Taro International. Achieve, lead, outclass at Taro.com.
We're out to lunch with April Samp at table 128, part two of our conversation about the news and news media, particularly TV. April, welcome back.
Thank you.
It was a good lunch, eh?
It was a fantastic
lunch.
Yeah. Did you like your burger?
I did like the burger.
Yes, and Lynn's burger. It's fantastic.
Yeah, you also had the same
Lynn's
thing.
Burger. And then the best salad in, I think, in town.
There you go.
The Brussels sprout salad.
Do you know, last week when we were here, somebody else said that.
Yes.
Said that. I should remember that
trying.
Next time.
Yes.
All right. April Samp, Local 5 TV, a WOI, an ABC affiliate here in the greater Des Moines metro. Let's talk about some more business aspects
okay.
of what it is that you do, April. We've talked about what a news director does, how news gets on the air, what fake news is, what it isn't, and all of those things. Let's talk about the personnel side of the business.
Okay.
What's it like? Who are you looking for now?
Mm-hmm.
How long do reporters stay on the beat? How important is it that those journalists that are delivering the news every day mm-hmm. be credible?
Well, it's just like it's important for your anchors to be credible. It's important for everybody to know what they're talking about, get it right. I mean, that's the first rule, get it right. And so what's it like to hire these days?
Yeah.
It's becoming increasingly difficult because not as many people are going into journalism. The expectations of new graduates coming out, I just tried to hire somebody and made them an offer. And he told me, my primary purpose right now is paying off my student loans.
Yeah.
And I said, well, isn't your primary purpose to get a job to pay off those student loans, I guess? And he was expecting something outrageous that, at least in my situation, and it wasn't like I had a poverty-level job offer for him. It was a decent job offer. So I think we have a lot of this whole generation is going to school and racking up student loan debt, and not just journalists. I think it's in every industry.
Every industry.
And they think they're going to come out and make 60 grand. Maybe some of them are. But in journalism, you don't. And to be able to start off in the Des Moines market out of college is becoming the new norm. And when I was in school 20 years ago, I don't want to admit that, but I worked my way up through an internship. I was the rarity that I got a job in Des Moines while I was at Iowa State. Most people had to go to Sioux City, which is a super small market, and make 20 grand a year. And just kind of was the reality of it. You started at a small market. You cut your
sure.
teeth. You made the mistakes. And this is producers, anchors, reporters, managers, all of it. And then you moved your way up. And over my career, I moved every about 2 years, 2 or 3 years, so I could move up to the next level and learn something new in a new market and learn about a new city until I came home to Iowa. So,
but the reality today is that you start right at the top?
I would say six hires I've made have been college graduates.
Wow.
And I have to train them like about everything. They don't know about mortgages. So part of my story meetings have become, do you know what a mortgage is? This is how it works. This is how a mill levy works. This is why this legislation that's going through is important, because they just don't have the life experience, right? They just don't know what they don't know. And so,
so
my
rather
job
than
has
working
changed,
themselves
yes.
up from the bottom.
And then growing up
yeah,
through
I
life.
Get it. Yeah.
And usually they're 28 when they come to Des Moines. Now they're 21. And so my job has changed to almost become like a life coach in some ways.
You're the den mother.
I run an adult daycare some days, yes. So, unfortunately. But they're very, very smart adults, and they're more than capable, and they're very good, especially the general assignment reporters, are very good at learning what they need to learn about that story. That, you know, they kind of learn a lot about everything, a little about a lot. Does that make sense?
Sure.
And also, I have veterans in the newsroom, and that was one of the things that I had to build at Local 5 is hire people who do have the experience. So our anchors are experienced. They're my veterans. They're my award winners, national award winning reporters. And so I've set up a mentoring program where...
I was going to ask you that.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there's times where I've taken people off the air, like Elias Johnson. I've taken him off the air and I have him spend days with the new reporters to not only talk about storytelling technique or shooting technique, but to talk about how do you find the real news nugget here? How do you make this a story that's more than just a feature? Why does this matter to people? Jack Miller constantly is coaching on writing, and Stephanie Engelson is working with so all of these people who've been around for a long time are spreading their knowledge throughout the newsroom. That's how I've set it up.
And I want to ask you about that, because when we watch a 60-second slug or whatever that story is, mm-hmm. I don't think people really understand how much work goes into mm-hmm. all of that before it even hits
right.
the
hours
TV.
Hours and hours, sometimes days.
Yeah.
I would say we're one of the few stations in America that we will, every station in America will work days on stories, especially the big promotable or investigative stories. But I let it have the time it needs to have. One of my favorite TV shows is 60 Minutes, right? And they have an approach to storytelling that is usually 6 to 10 minutes long. And when you have a 30-minute newscast at 10 o'clock, devoting 6 to 8 minutes to a story is a gamble, but it's a gamble that I believe in because it gives our viewers context.
It gives depth.
And depth, yes.
Yeah. And that's so important for people to understand the overarching story about
right.
what's going on.
Right.
Yeah, good
so
stuff.
Sabrina Ahmed just did a story on MedFarm, and she went to Colorado,
yes.
and she won a Walter Cronkite Award for her previous medical marijuana reporting because we let the story breathe, and it was 6 minutes. And this last one, I think, was 7 minutes, but it's important. And if you're going to do it right. And so even if a story is 30 seconds long, we deliberate about how long it should be, what's important, how do you showcase it, how do you make people pay attention. But I don't want to have a whole newscast of 30-second blah, 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 blah that all runs together. I'd rather take the time where it needs to be taken.
One of the things I think I want to know, and perhaps listeners would like to know as well, you're a female news director. How prevalent is that?
There are more male news directors. I will say in the journalism field, there are now more females in the journalism field than males. If you look at overall positions of not only news directors but general managers, a majority of them are white males. I would love to see that change.
Yeah.
I would love to see innovative ideas and talent be rewarded by letting them have a shot at more than just being a spreadsheet manager and being a good community partner who's dedicated to creating content and a TV station that helps the community. I think there's going to be a shift, and it's not just the Me Too thing. I think that helps fuel it, but even people are struggling with the Me Too movement, like at Tony Robbins getting skewered lately for that. So, you know what? I don't ever think about it until somebody puts it in my face.
I'm sure.
Or asks me about it. I don't go to work thinking, I'm a woman today, and I'm going to look at this through my woman filter. I just do my job and hope that my work speaks for itself, and that's all I think about. But the first time I became a news director, I was 29, which was young, and I thought that was going to be the biggest thing that people were like, what do you know? You're 29, even though I'd been in the business for 10 years, because I started when I was 19. But the biggest issue, and that was in 2005, was
that
I was their first female boss. And wow. People had serious issues with it that caught me off guard. But it helped me grow, and it helped me get through some difficult situations that have helped me now later on in my career.
We're out to lunch with April Samp at Table 128. April, let's tune it back to a challenge, I think, that's in all of broadcast media, and that's getting the eyeballs or the ears mm-hmm. of younger audience members.
Right.
With all the streaming and all the other opportunities that's out there for gathering news from Twitter to whatever it happens to be, how do you compete with that?
It's difficult. You have to be relevant. You have to have good content like we talked about. But if you ask some of the younger people when's the last time they watched TV news, especially a newscast.
It's scary, isn't it?
By appointment. Yeah, it's by appointment. It's on every single... You know that the 5 o'clock's going to be on. You know the 6 o'clock's going to be on. So maybe it's on in background. But it's just not appointment, especially when everybody has a smartphone in their hand. So we are utilizing social media to reach those audiences. People are cutting the cord. And with that, though, at least here in Des Moines, the internet speeds are just not up to par for that to be a viable option for me personally. But a lot of people just, they want to watch their Netflix. They want to watch their Hulu. They want to be entertained. And it's going to take something like a terrorist attack or a huge tornado barreling through town for them to turn us on. And we know that. And we know that weather is always going to be the number one reason why people turn us on. But it goes back to, why do we do 6 minutes on a piece? Well, because we're really digging into matters that and issues that affect people here. And so I think that's how you get them to turn you on, but you have to reach them in different ways because it's so fragmented. You know, I've got to do Facebook posts that are boosted so I can reach that target audience. I actually have two different audience profiles in my marketing communications plan that I came up with for the whole We Are Iowa brand, which is the 35-year-old woman who's we call her our female switchable. She's the woman who makes the decision. She's the one who wants to know how to make the best decisions for her family, for her kids. Does she need to make her husband go to the doctor? And then you got the 21-year-old young professional, which we know there's tons of them here in Des Moines. And they are a completely different profile. They're getting their information on their phone from their friends. They maybe don't even own a TV. So how do you reach them? And so we have a plan as a corporation, as a TV station, to get onto that over-the-top market, which is YouTube TV or Hulu. ABC is going to have its own app. You know, so you find it your way onto these different apps, just like we did with DirecTV
sure.
and MediaCom and everything.
When you talk about younger viewers, older viewers, mm-hmm. target demographics and things like that, how does the ratings system play into decision-making at a television station? I'm familiar with what happens at broadcast facilities mm-hmm. in radio, but what about ratings? What's this whole ratings thing, and how do you feel about that?
So the rating system that traditionally has been used in Des Moines, so advertising agencies, so you have your truck store that we talked about earlier.
Right.
Your truck store wants to place advertising. And so a lot of times you'll go to an agency and you will ask them to reach. I want to reach all the guys in Des Moines and in Ames. And so they run a report, and that's where the ratings come into play. So they run a report and they put together what they call a schedule or a media buying proposal. So these agencies will look at all these ratings. The rating system that's traditionally been used is Nielsen. We're a diaried market. Even though we're a middle-sized market, we've been stuck on this diaried market. I'm sure many of your listeners have received the blue. It looks like what you used to take tests on in college.
Sure.
You know, they're like these blue essay books, and there's like $5 and enclosed. Please fill this out. Tell us what you watched for this week. And it is the most unreliable. I'm sorry. It's ridiculous that our careers have been based on one person filling out accurately what they've been watching from 8 a.m. from midnight to midnight, right?
And the sample size isn't that large either, is it?
The sample size isn't large. So let's say they'll send out 1,500 of these blue books, and they're hoping they're getting back, you know, a couple hundred. And I've been down to Tampa at Nielsen headquarters, and I've pulled the actual books because I was like, this cannot be right. We have higher ratings than this. And I'll pull out the diaries, that's what they're called, and I'll look, and somebody has just written, you know, TV station X, and they'll just draw an arrow all the way down every single day. So you're telling me you're watching just one station all day long? And if they're the only person from a certain age demographic, they're the only female 24 to 29 that turned this in, then they whatever they wrote in that diary goes for that whole market. That one person is deciding all of these rating points that matter. They matter to millions of dollars.
Well, it does have a financial impact.
It does.
All the way around.
It does.
Not only on the ability to continue to deliver the news and the content, but also who you hire.
Yeah.
Yeah. So all of those things are interwoven.
You know, every business has to be strategic. What's interesting about journalism is not only you have to be strategic, but you have to hold yourself to a standard of ethics and stop worrying about all that stuff and just do what's right. Do the story that some people might not think is sexy enough, but it's a story that you need to do. You know, we don't subscribe to Nielsen anymore as a TV station. We use ComScore, which gathers data differently than the diary system. It has its own flaws, but it's better. You know, we're increasing in the ratings every single ratings period, which is four times a year. Some markets, they have everyday returns. They get their overnights, and I've worked in those markets, and all of a sudden you find yourself looking at overnight returns going, "Ooh, what'd we do yesterday? That was huge. We got a bump. What'd we do? Oh, we did a story about dogs." Then you start thinking, oh.
Oh, does every story happen?
Should I put more dog stories in?
Yeah. Believe me, I live that world. Because now, in all this digital marketing that we do, I'm looking at our numbers every single day.
Yes.
And so I go, oh, wow, that was a spike of several thousand. What did we do on that day that caused people to go, oh, yeah, this is cool?
What's completely different about the social media world, as you know, is if you get in with those tribes, as in we do a story about a child that has, he's a big wrestler, but he has cancer, and the wrestling community latches onto it, and it spreads like wildfire, and all of a sudden we have all these impressions because we latched onto the right tribe. We just did a story, one of good friends of mine, Tyler and Amber Robinson, their son has Down syndrome, and we featured him in this beautiful story about blessings come in different ways. And that story went like crazy because it doesn't have to be, you know, blood and gore. It's like the stories that really impact people, they'll share.
Those, we have always said in the advertising world, that if you will play on the emotions, and this sounds really cold, but if you work the emotions rather than facts, oftentimes that works better. April, thanks for having lunch with us.
Thank you for having me.
This has been fun, isn't it?
It has been, yes.
All that you wanted to know about broadcast television with April Samp. Thank you again, April.
Thank you.
Good stuff. Another lunch date in the books. Be watching for us each week this month at Table 128 as we dine with a business thought leader here in DSM USA. And feel free to share this podcast and all of our podcasts with your friends and family. Let them know there's such a thing as non-toxic talk news that's alive and well. For all of us associated with the Business News Hour, our engineer is Tyler Hackenmiller, production voice Hunter Pease, sales and marketing coordinator Aaron Libby, James Goodlett, who wrote and produced our theme music, and our hosts Lynn and Sarah Pritchard from Table 128. My name's Michael Libby. Thanks for listening. And remember, be safe, be well, be careful, and most of all, be good to your fellow man.